Well, folks, it's wonderful to be with you today. Was that not a wonderful worship opportunity? My heavens. Oh, we are blessed. I'm really glad to be with you here today. It was a little touch and go. I went shopping with my wife yesterday. We were in a store. She was going to go to another department. She put me in the customer service line. Tell me what to do. I was supposed to return something that we didn't need, get a refund. It was a long line. I'm just standing there minding my own business, being a good guy. I got the receipt. I got the bag. All of a sudden, I feel this unbelievable piercing pain right there in my thigh. And then lower down. I don't know what's going on. Then I heard a loud noise, and I blacked out. And people came running from all directions, and they put me sort of on a bench, and I was trying to collect myself. And what happened is this lady, who was pushing one of these flat carts, did not navigate the turn right, hit a big old wooden display, and it just tipped over and got me right there. Got a big bruise. Want to see? And so I was just thinking, holy Toledo, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. So anyway, my wife took me to an urgent care, you know, one of these places you go right in. Well, we were heading to a place she thought it was at a certain location, and it wasn't there. So I'm dying. She's taking her time. Because I have life insurance. So then we find this urgent care thing, and we go on in there, and she's helping me fill out the paperwork and all the rest, and there are three men there, and they're speaking in a foreign language, and as I listened in, I realized it was Hebrew. I mean, this is Pearland, Texas. There are not many Hebrew speakers in Pearland, Texas, and so I interrupted them. I figured, man, you know, I can do that. I'm on my way out. I might as well. So I said to them, hey, are you Israeli? And they looked at me and they said, yes. How did you know? I said, well, I heard you speak in Hebrew. And do you know Hebrew? I said, yeah, just a little bit. I know a little Hebrew. I'm one. I'm a little Hebrew. And one thing led to another, and we got talking, and where do you work, said they. And I said, well, let me tell you a little bit about my story. I work at a place called Sagemont Church, but I'm Jewish. I'm a Jew who has come to believe that the Messiah, I used a couple Hebrew words, Moshiach, is Yeshua, is Jesus. And many of the people in our church have been to Israel, because that's the place of the life and death and burial, resurrection, and return, maybe soon return, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so then I went in and saw this lady, and she did some stuff, and basically she told me, get over it, that'll be $50. That's pretty much what happened. But I thought to myself, holy Toledo, what are the chances, you know, that that's going to happen, for one thing, and that we end up in this urgent care facility with three Israelis? What are the chances of that happening, and that I got a chance to share with them? So it was a great day. You know, God created us for a purpose, and one of the purposes is to represent Him publicly, and He's going to set up many opportunities wherein we could do that. And I'm so grateful for yesterday's, even as I stand before you, I'm in great pain now. But you mean a lot to me, and so does workman's compensation. Both the two, I hold them together. Hey, listen, so I found, you know what I found in yesterday's event? I found evidence of the fact that I exist. You know, every time I do that, I am here. I have concrete evidence that I exist. I would like you to have the same evidence. So would you tap somebody you're sitting next to on the shoulder? Just tap them on the Don't inflict pain, just a little bit like that. And then when having done that, would you say to that same person or people, I have now found evidence that you are here. Can you just, yeah, thank you for, yeah, because that's one of the philosophical questions of life. Do I exist? And so you just found evidence. It was just confirmed by the person sitting next to you that you are here. But now that question having been satisfied leads to a bigger one, and it's this one. What are you here for? You're here, but what is your purpose? What is the purpose of life? I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I think I have it figured out. And I'd like to share with you, and you pay attention if you'd like and tell me what you think. I think our purpose is twofold. It is to relate to God personally and then to reflect God publicly. I think that's the grand design for our life. And so let's take a few minutes, talk about part A first, the part that says our purpose is to relate to God personally. Folks, he made us for himself. Think about that. He made us for relationship with him. For instance, take a look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, where it says, "And God created man in his own image." Now, in his own image could mean a whole bunch of stuff. I think it means at least this, that as God has mind, emotions, and will, he, having created us in his own image, has given us the same equipment. We're different than a rock and a tree. He's given us a mind, a heart, and a will. He's given us a mind to think about him, a heart to have affection for him, and a will to obey and to submit to him. Now, what we've done, sadly, is used that unique equipment in other directions. We've exhausted our mind by thinking about other things. We've lent our affections to other people and things, and we have exercised our will contrary to that of God. But nonetheless, having been created in his own image, he gave us the equipment whereby we can draw near to him. We were made for God. God made us for himself. In fact, there's something a whole lot different with the way in which he made us and the way in which he made everything else. This is how God created everything else. You can see it in Genesis chapter 1. That tells us about it. It says, "And God said, let there be." Let there be light. Let there be heavens. He said, let there be stars. Let there be plants and fish and birds and animals. In the power of his word, he spoke into existence everything that exists. This is how he created everything except us. When it came to creating us, the language of Genesis chapter 1 changes from the impersonal formula, let there be, to something much different. This is what it says, for instance, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Can you see how the language now is personal? It's not impersonal. God speaks now. Can you see it in relational terms? Let us make man in our image. It's a reference to the Trinity. That's complicated, but true. God is one, but manifests himself in three persons. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They were always that way from before time. In other words, they had community. There's relationship and community within the Trinity. And we are invited into the same community. God invites us into relationship with himself. Our purpose, folks, is to relate to God personally. We've been made for it. Did you know today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday? Are you aware of that? It marks the anniversary of the day when, in 1973, the Supreme Court of this great country, the United States, made the horrific decision to make abortion legal across the land. And since that time, this has got to affect you if you're listening. Since that time, 56 million babies have been aborted. 56 million. You know what that means? It means God has been robbed of relationship with 56 million people. You see, the purpose of those 56 million was for them to relate to God personally, but their God-given purpose has been interfered with, and God has been robbed of relationship with those whom he has created for that very purpose. Can you see how serious it is to rob God in that sense? I'm grateful, I'll bet most of you are too, for the crisis pregnancy centers across the land through whose ministry to needy, expectant ladies and their beautiful babies, thousands, tens of thousands of lives have been saved. Would you like to be involved? Our church supports some, and there's always room for others. Would you like to help out and join the campaign to save human life so that Almighty God can enjoy relationship with the created beings, yes, even unborn babies, whom he has made for himself? If so, there'll be a representative from one of the local crisis pregnancy centers to help you know how you could cooperate and participate with the effort. And that person will be at the missions booth in our lobby. You may want to stop by there before we take leave of one another later. In Genesis chapter 2, we find out more about how we were made. We read, for instance, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The first one of us, his name, do you remember what his name was? Yeah, the first one of us, Adam, that was his name. He was formed of dust from the ground. We have, a very earthy side to our being, dust being the material part of our being. But that's not the whole story. That's not all there is to it. Though God formed us from the dust of the ground, he also personally and very directly breathed into the first one of us the breath of life. So then we come from the earth, but we also come, think about it, from God's own breath. See, God gathered together dust from the earth. He then formed it into a human body, and then he breathed life into it. God exhaled, man inhaled, and suddenly had life. Man was not, and then suddenly man was. And the first thing he sensed was the intense nearness of Almighty God, so near that God was able directly to breathe life into him. Folks, we began in the most intimate way with our Creator, and that's how he meant it to be. He made us that way. We are made for intimacy with the God who made us. Our purpose, you see, is to relate to God personally. We live in a day when many are trying to find themselves. It's not an unacceptable quest. And so many are struggling for self-identity and thus asking the question, who am I? But the first question, you may be surprised to know, put by God to man in the Bible is altogether different. You can see it in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" That's the first question put by God to man. Not who are you, but where are you? Many today are on this, as I mentioned, quest for a sense of meaning and purpose. And so they begin with the wrong question. They begin with the question, who am I? But God asked first man and woman, where are you? What is your position with regard to the God who made you? Do you mind if I ask you that for your own reflection? Where are you with regard to the God who made you? Where are you located in life? Are you, in other words, are you close to God or are you distant from him, even as we sit here today in each other's company? See, our purpose, our primary purpose in life, is to relate to God personally. Therefore, it's not possible for us to find a sense of personal identity and worth and purpose apart from him. Where are you? That's the key question to answer. You cannot know who you are if you don't know where you are. When you are rightly related to God, then you can know your identity and your value and your purpose. Folks, we have a much higher purpose than that given to fish and birds and animals. When God wanted these critters to be, he simply commanded and they were. But when he made us, he was personally involved and he made us in his own image. Why? Because our purpose is to relate to God personally. Now, you and I may not succeed in attaining material or financial success in life. You may not have the job you dream to one day have. You may not have good health. You may not sadly be treated fairly and lovingly by people close to you. But though you may lack these many things of life and even experience the diverse pains of life, you can still live in accordance with the purpose of your life. And your purpose and mine is to relate to God personally. That purpose can be accomplished in good times and bad. So if we let all the circumstances of life, good and bad, drive us to our Creator God, we are then fulfilling the grand purpose for which he created us. Many of you could illustrate this in your life experience. I want to call upon a friend of mine whose life experience really illustrates this point. So Don Carrico, could you please join me here upstage? Don is one of our wonderful members in the church. This is his lovely wife, Mary. Thank you for doing that. We went to Israel together not long ago and even came back and had a wonderful time there. And Don, you were diagnosed not too long ago with what?
Back in July, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer.
And that was kind of a surprise, I take it.
Very much so. It was pretty shocking in the beginning.
And you gave a lot of thought to the situation and ultimately found yourself where?
We were directed by an acquaintance at that time, a friend now that goes to Sagemont, to inquire about a clinic, a cancer center down in Sarasota, Florida. So we weighed our options, whether to go to MD Anderson or to this place in Sarasota, and we decided to go to Florida.
So you and Mary went to this place in Florida, and you were there for how long?
We had a 3-month vacation in Florida.
And during that so-called vacation, you received treatments, and what was the outcome?
Well, the prognosis is very good. We were very optimistic. We really feel like God has healed me, and now we're just taking care of the symptoms.
And Don, you are a redeemed person, created, as we've been thinking, with a grand purpose, and that is to know God personally. Uncomfortable, disruptive experience enhance your relationship with the Lord? If so, how?
It really did. I had always wanted to have a quiet time. I've been a Christian now for 39 and a half years. And my intent was always to have a quiet time, but I just never seemed to be able to work that into my schedule. I would try many times. I would go for 3 or 4 days and do really well, and then for some reason there'd be an interruption, there'd be a bump in the schedule that would have a higher priority, I would think. And every once in a while I'd buy a new Bible thinking that, well, maybe this version would help. Maybe I could understand it better. But now I have a stack of Bibles and no quiet time. But back in July, a friend of mine told me that, Don, you need to start reading your Bible. And I said, yes, I know that. He says, at least read the red letters. Well, my favorite Bible in that stack didn't have red letters, but I determined that I would go ahead and I would underline every word of Christ. And that forced me to read every word. And now I'm underlining a whole bunch of things, but I yearn for that opportunity every day to read more, and it is wonderful. I've never been closer to the Lord, and I think that he has used this experience to draw me closer to him and my wife.
And your wife.
And my wife, yeah.
And have you had occasion to tell people that story?
Yes, I have. I'll tell anybody that will listen.
God bless you, brother. Please thank Don. Thank you so much, Don. Look, cancer, the dreaded C word, having to uproot and go to a place and meet with folks they never met before, take unusual treatments and all the rest. And Don saw that it not only did not distract him from his God-given purpose, it actually enhanced it. So the purpose of life is really not to be healthy and wealthy, is it? The purpose of life is to relate to God personally. And there's a second aspect to it. Thank you so much, Don. It is to reflect God publicly. Don just did it. His situation drove him with greater intimacy to the Word of God, and thus the very heart and mind of God. And he had a chance even today and in other places to reflect God publicly. That's the second part of our grand purpose. You see, God did not make all things in his own image. Did you know that? But he did make us that way. Therefore, we are image bearers. Whatever else you may think of yourself, this much is true. You are intended, you and I, to be image bearers of Almighty God. We are meant to reflect his image out there in the world. We're made in God's own image so that we can, if you will, image forth his glory. So take a look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. See, God blessed us, spoke to us, gave us dominion over the earth, created all else for us to make use of. Why? As first man, the first one of us, Adam, and those who came from him would multiply and go about through the earth, filling it and subduing it and making use of it, they would be reflecting the character of Almighty God. They would be living proof. We use that phrase a lot. They would be living proof of his sovereignty and of his love and goodness, of his power, of his willingness to supply, of his guidance, of his kind intentions, of his personal and intimate involvement in our lives. And so this then is our purpose as well. It is to reflect God publicly. Folks, once again, you may not have much of what the world has to offer. You may have suffered painful loss. You may not have the job you want. You may be ill. You may not be treated fairly and lovingly by the people around you, but you can still fulfill God's purpose. And our purpose is to relate to God personally and then to reflect God publicly. There it is. It's simple, it's powerful, it's true. This leads me to this thought. Perhaps we ought to pray for one another differently than we're prone to. Usually when one of us is hurting and needy, we're praying for the alleviation of the hurt and the satisfaction of the need. No problem. But maybe we should pray that God would make use of the hurt and the need and the accident and the illness and the loss. Maybe we should pray, oh God, would you use these things to enhance the divine life purpose which you gave to that suffering one, which is to relate to you personally and to reflect you publicly. Would you, as you did with Don, and there's Charles McKinley, and what a blessing to see him. And he could tell you stories about his stay in the hospital, too, and how God made use of it for him to publicly reflect Almighty God. Charles is a little different than you. You wait your turn to speak. Brother Charles just, boom, he's just right. You know, it takes all kinds. Brother Charles, we call it bulldozer evangelism. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay. We're all different over here. The writer of Psalm 73 seemed to have this stuff scoped out. He seemed to have a good understanding of his life purpose. And so we read in Psalm 73, verses 25, 26, whom, this is what he says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You know, he realized God wanted to give him his best. God loved him supremely. And if God wanted to supremely manifest his love to him, he had to give him what's best, and what's best is himself. And that's what God gave to you and I. He gave us himself. He designed us to know him, to walk with him, to enjoy him forever. Folks, our grand purpose is to relate to God personally. The writer of Psalm 73 further understood this, as is declared in verses 27 and 28 of Psalm 73. He said, "For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge." Why? That I may tell of all thy good works. And so can you see? He knew his grand purpose was to know God personally and reflect God publicly. Many of us are terribly unsatisfied with our lives. I wonder if it's because we think the purpose of our lives is success and survival. That's it. Success and survival. But folks, those are not the grand purposes for which we have been created, and therefore we cannot be satisfied if we're not living in alignment with God's grand purpose for our lives. There is a relationship. The writer of Psalm 73 found it. There is a relationship which makes life absolutely complete and satisfying. And without that relationship, there is a void in each of our lives. Many people, even famous ones, have experienced that void. Have you heard of H.G. Wells, famous historian? He said at the age of 61, "I have no peace." He said, "All of life is the end of the tether." The literary genius, the naturalist, Henry David Thoreau, said most men live lives of quiet desperation. There was a fellow named Ralph Barton. He was a famous cartoonist in this country. He left a note pinned to his pillow before taking his own life. And the note said, "I've had few difficulties, many friends, great successes. I've gone from wife to wife, from house to house. I have visited great countries of the world, but I am fed up with inventing devices to fill up 24 hours of the day." No need to live a life of quiet desperation. You and I are image bearers of Almighty God, who made us for relationship with him. My fellow image bearers, whatever may come our way, it can be used to help us fulfill our life purpose, which is, can you say it with me, to relate to God personally and to reflect him publicly. Oh God, we're grateful that you've chosen us for such a high and lofty purpose. You created us for relationship. You've given us the faculties for it. To the extent that we've used them to locate us apart from you, we're in trouble. Unsatisfied, aimless wanderers. Oh God in heaven, thank you for taking the form of man. It's you, Lord Jesus Christ, so as to connect us, sinful though we be, with the Father, holy though he is. And therein, in the relationship, oh God, is the inauguration, the beginning of a grand life purpose, to know you personally and to reflect you publicly. That's our prayer. That's our desire. In Jesus' name, amen.